welcome to the last regular season edition of Dugout Study Hall for 2021. I'm your host and expert layman, Matt Goodwin, and with me on this special occasion is my co-host and your fake baseball economist, Alexander Chase. In this episode, we will talk a little bit about Mookie Betts and his very good, disappointing season, and go through some superlatives that you may agree with, or maybe not, but should be fun. But before we get to all of that, Alexander, how are you doing?
Hey, Matt. Are you ready to talk about the weather?
I can if you'd like to. It's lovely. It's fall. It's nice here in New England. It's enjoyable. I actually, as I've mentioned, I really do like fall. It's starting to get to be that like perfect temperature. You sleep with the windows open. You don't have to have the air conditioning running. You wake up and you're under the blanket. I don't know. It's really a cozy time of year. My wife just decked out our mantle with some really cool, autumn, decorations. So, we're ready to rock and roll here. The next step is fire pit in the backyard.
Beautiful. We are a caricature of ourselves. So I'm fine with all this discussion and I knew where we were going from the start. Really leaned into it. I went to an Orioles game the other day. I was wearing like black pants and an orange shirt, and I was like, I am just ready to look like someone who was really into fall, but instead is just really, really excited to see Cedric Mullins play.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah. But you know, like one big regret this fall is that I had a friend who like I bought a fire pit with last winter, so I'd like buy the wind
or
I
it's close friendship.
I buy the wood. Like the firewood and bring that over and you know like they have backyard and they moved to an apartment, actually like the same apartment building as me, so now we're neither of us have
so
that.
You're still friends, you get to do cool things, just not fire pits anymore. That's probably frowned upon in the apartment complex, I would imagine.
Yes it is.
So I when we bought this house, it had an above ground pool, and we really didn't want any part of it, and insurance can be a real pain, and we didn't want to have to build a fence and all that stuff. It was older.
Yeah.
So one of the conditions of buying the house was, can you just rip out that pool? So they did, which was awesome, except it left this giant like bald spot in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had this brainstorm that, I will fill it with gravel and build a fire pit in it, and then I will sit out here many nights and enjoy the backyard and the ambiance. And I have been able to do that a lot, but I don't think there's any season that that beats fall for that until it gets to be just a little too cold. But, you know, a sweatshirt by the fire, it's good times. So nice. That's coming up here. Definitely in the near future. Anything else going on in your life?
You know, this is a very special one day of the year. It's the one day where my girlfriend is going to go to a baseball game without me on purpose.
On purpose. Not by accident, like you got separated in the ticket line.
So today is the congressional baseball game. For work purposes, she and a lot of my other friends here in DC end up, well, not for work purposes, it's a fun event. They play it in Nat Stadium, and it's just like a whole big thing. Nat Stadium's a fun place to be. It's a nice facility, so you know, you have to watch a whole bunch of people who aren't that athletic try to swing a bat, and it's a fun time.
There's obviously no highlights of that the next morning. It's too bad. We could probably do a nice breakdown on Pitcher List of the best non MLB moments of the congressional baseball game.
I believe it is on Fox Sports One. So
is it really?
I'm sure we could go back in time after this episode and find like the best GIFs.
And Yeah. I'm definitely going to see if I can go ahead and find that some replay somewhere. That's awesome. Maybe I'll get my boy Ben Brown to do some of the giving. He's way better at it than I am. I can do some basic stuff. His stuff is next level. So if I can find that, I may reach out and just ask him to do that. All right. So let's get into numbers of the week. This is our last pod of the regular season. Just a programming note quickly before we move into this. Actually, this is probably something I should have brought up earlier. We are recording and have an episode out. It will be October 1st when you're listening to this. We are going to have an episode for October 8th. Then we will be going every other week for the off season. So we're not leaving you. We have some plans of some interesting things that that we can do to keep baseball in your ear, even in the off season. But it will be every other week. So don't think we've abandoned you, whatever that date is going to be. What's the next October Friday after the 8th? Is the 15th, right? 8 plus 7?
Yeah.
It's fast math.
Yeah, that is exactly how adding works these days.
So if you don't get an episode on October 15th, it's because you're not going to, and that's by design. So, but we will be back the following week with some content for you. So anyway, getting into numbers of the final week of the regular season, wow. I know, right? It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. We're at episode 35 of our show. Which we just started at the beginning of the season. So it's amazing. Time is a weird thing. Sometimes it feels like it takes forever, and sometimes it feels like it's gone in a moment. It doesn't change. It's us that changes and our perception of it that changes. But, man, it's really kind of a silly thing. But I want to bring up Mookie Betts. And, you know, the crux of our episode here today is going to be superlatives, and I have a sneaking suspicion that we're not going to find one for him. He wasn't the worst at anything, and he wasn't the best at anything this year, even though some people may have drafted him thinking he might be. So here's what I'd like to do. It's a little bit of a game. I'm not obviously going to have you guess who we're talking about, since I just told you that would be a terrible game. But I'm going to give you some stats, Fangraphs numbers on Mookie Betts, and I'm going to have you guess his WRC+, where you think it wound up okay. at the end okay. of the year based on just these five numbers. And we're going to do average, OBP, slugging, WOBA, and ex-WOBA. I do know that you like some of those expected stats, so I made sure that I included that as
so
well.
So sweet.
You know, we take care of each other on this pod. So Mookie Betts average as of the recording, which is Wednesday, so it's September 29th. There are a few more games that will be played between now and then, but as of this recording, Mookie Betts is sitting at two. You know, I made the font too small here. You're gonna have to bear with me for a second while I blow up my my font. I got old eyes. It happens. It's gonna happen to you too. One day.
I have an appointment on Friday to get my eyes checked again, and I am really scared. Just to be clear here. It's been two years.
I'll tell a slightly interesting story as an aside while I blow this font up so that I can see it. A couple of years ago, actually now like 5.5, 6 years ago, I needed new glasses, and I knew that we were going to be having a baby. So I had an old pair, and I wanted the same prescription because I didn't want to have to not be able to use those. Mm-hmm. So I went in and I basically like talked the optometrist into giving me the same prescription so that I could then go order a bunch of glasses online, thinking that my baby was probably going to grab and pull and break. And,
And
I wanted to have a few pairs of backups, but I didn't want them to be slightly different prescriptions and mess with my brain. So I don't know. Maybe that's not a funny story, but it always sticks in my head. All right. Back on track.
Here
are the numbers. I can see it now. Maybe I need a new prescription. So again, average OBP, slugging, WOBA, ex-WOBA. The average is .268. On-base percentage, .371. Slugging is .488. WOBA, .367. Ex-WOBA, .357. Do you want those numbers again? Are you good?
I will refer to them as needed. So we're all good here. So that 367 WOBA, that's actually the number I'm going to start with here to kind of like get my brain sorted, right? Anything above 350 is really good. 400 is like MVP level, right? So 350 is like approaching all-star, or it's like all-star approaching MVP level. That's pretty good. His ex-WOBA is a little below that. Obviously, that won't affect his WRC+. WOBA does not account for park. WRC+, that plus tells us I think they do.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah. Batting average is 268, whatever. The 371 OBP is, by the way, just better than I thought it was for him this year. He's had a strong year. Like, that's 371 OBP, 488 slugging. Like, that's a good year.
Yeah. I mean, to say that this is a disappointing year is relative to who we're talking about, right? I mean, it's hard to be Mookie and everybody expects you to be perfect all the time. So yeah, these are not terrible numbers. I think that average is probably disappointing.
Yeah.
Only because that's what you're using in fantasy, right?
Well,
but
for a little while longer, we'll see. I think we're going to go. I think we're going to go to OBP as like the industry standard within the next couple of years.
It's interesting.
It's just obviously better. It allows for more interesting players. We should design leagues around Joey Gallo being good. but here's where I'm going to this. I'm going to give you 125. That's going
to
be my guess.
Now, how do you want me to handle this? It's not 125, which would actually have been absolutely amazing if you hit it spot on.
Yeah, round numbers.
Do you want me to do like hot, cold? Do you want me to go higher, lower? What kind of Price is Right version game do you want to try and play here to see if we can land on the number?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to guess whether I was right or wrong about being too high or too low, and then I want you to give away. I'm going to guess that I was too high.
No.
Oh, good for him. What was it?
No. 133.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So 33% better than league average with a 367 WOBA. Yeah. I was really being pessimistic there. You know, yeah. No, I think that's really interesting. Is there a reason you wanted to pull him up in particular other than the fact that we've kind of just like forgotten that he's been really good this year, just not the third best player in fantasy or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's what I wanted. Why I wanted to bring him up. I would have, if you said at the beginning of this season that we would be doing this episode about superlatives, number one, I would be like, that's awesome that we lasted 35 weeks. good for us. And then I would probably say Mookie Betts is going to be on that list somewhere. And I don't think he's going to be here because I think that he had a down year for him, which is still a good year. But I almost feel like he's like a forgotten star in terms of a lot of the conversations that are going on. And I don't know, it's good to have his name, I think, in our memory banks. And I don't know, I really actually kind of wonder, and you tell me what your take is on this. Do you think that the perception that he's maybe been worse than he's actually been, or something like the low average? Because again, that's when you draft him, like if your league has that as a category, probably hurt you there way more than you were thinking he would, is going to impact our perception of his value on draft day next year.
You know, it's really funny. Cause like, that's like the one stat that like is the most wobbly of all of like the main stats that you're going to do like as a fantasy player, if that makes sense. Like, you know, batting average is just really weird and random and dumb. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's ultimately what determines whether you win or lose.
I'm trying to imagine a batting average only league right now. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you though. It's kind of reminiscent of like the way that baseball is. It's all fluky. I think like the Dodgers are gonna be good. The Dodgers are also gonna be good, and the Dodgers are gonna be really good even. So I think we're gonna like be normal. I think he probably goes in the top 15 at least. And if probably top five even, and probably top 10, probably not top five in a lot of leagues.
I think that's a big deal. When somebody falls out of the top five, even if they stay within the top 10 or 15, I still think that's a big deal. Is Mookie Betts a worse player going into next year than he was going into this year?
No. Well, he's running less, I think. I think that like last season was a huge, like he was just gunning for it on the base paths. And this year he hasn't been just gunning for it on the base paths. That is itself like it's a choice. Choices are predictive of future choices, and right. People steal less as they get older. But like also people steal less as they get older. He's really good and he's going to play for a good team, and he has a great lineup position. He's going to play pretty much every day. There are going to be a couple leagues where he's second base eligible because what?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I imagine he goes somewhere. I bet he goes ahead of Mike Trout next year.
That's interesting. Somebody just there was just an industry mock draft, and Trout fell to like 19th in a 12-team mock. It was interesting. I think Eric Cross tweeted that out. It was done by Matt Williams, and he got Trout at 19. And to his credit, he said, and you know, as we get into draft season, that's unlikely to be the case, but I think he did say something like maybe five spots. So outside the top 10 for Mike Trout is interesting too. I don't know. I think that's probably what drove me to bring him up is just, you know, I find it very interesting, all the people who are like the hot commodity, and the people even talk about, like, do you take him one overall, suddenly, like, maybe isn't even the conversation for the top 10. And I don't know, should we be doing that? So I guess was to answer your question, the motivation there. Anything else you want to say about bets before we move into the guts of this episode?
We're gonna probably see him on a big stage because the playoffs are starting, and the Dodgers, well, I guess they probably are gonna have to win a wild card game. We'll be heading into the weekend with his debuts, and we'll know probably for sure then, like, how likely it is that they're not playing at least a game 163 to determine they're gonna be in the wild card game. So yeah, I mean, we're likely to see, like, a very high leverage moment featuring the Dodgers very early in the playoffs. And I mean, like, I'm glad that he's one of the players that we get to watch in those big moments, because he's a fun dude, he's good at baseball, and, you know, I that's all we can ask for, right?
I mean, he is pretty easy to root for. I think he does a lot of things right on the field and off the field, so that's true. And that, to go to your point from an earlier episode, how things play out in the playoffs, it may bring that value right back up to top five if he goes and is amazing. You know, I think people are going to remember that more than they're going to remember the whole season. It's very interesting. So I was trying to pick somebody that kind of underperformed but wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I think he's a great example of that. Also, just a note for some guys who, like, have fallen out of the top five, like, there's a guy who we will bring up later on, Jose Ramirez, who has technically fallen out of the top five. And you remember, he's like, I think people got, like, really better after 2019, wasn't, like, top three, but man, you know, like,
well, he was really bad for a while. I mean, he sunk teams.
Yeah,
if you had him in a roto league, enough.
He will win leagues this year, like, if he hasn't already. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it is so easy to get burned by a guy and just be like, never again.
That's exactly what.
As bad as that is as an approach, I that sort of thing does happen. All right, let's move into what we really came here to talk about today, and that is the superlatives for the 2021 baseball season, the superlatives that we have picked at random for no reason other than we wanted to talk about them. I will forewarn you that I took all of the low-hanging fruit and put Alexander in a tough position. I took all the easy ones. So thank you for letting me do that, so I don't sound like a moron while we're talking about these things.
Hey, you know, I was really influenced by the fact that, you know, like, I always really love, like, yearbook superlatives as, like, a dumb thing to do. So, like, this was my idea as an exercise. So it's only fair that after coming up with a bunch of these categories, not all of them, and then automatically think about who I want to talk about, that I would at least let you pick first. So this doesn't just who do I want to talk about for 45 minutes? Because, like, we already do that enough.
Well, I still appreciate it. All right. We have an order here in our show notes, in our rundown. Is there a particular place you'd like to start? We can go in order, or we can go wherever.
So there's one category that, like, we're kind of not doing, and I think that's, like, where we have to start before we get into the funner stuff. And that's like, you know, like, I guess you don't have, like, a prom king superlative, but, like, there's a prom king, like the best player, though, like, I don't know. Did your yearbook just, like, name, like, top dude and top girl at your, like, guys? Weird.
You're asking me to go back a ways in the memory banks to something that I'm just gonna be flat out honest, I did not care about at all.
Good for you.
I couldn't probably name the people that would have won half of the superlatives. I don't know. That experience, we can dive into that another time if you'd like, maybe on a different pod with a different theme, like I can lie on a couch and you can have a clipboard and take notes kind of thing.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So I have no idea what superlatives were in my yearbook and who won them, and I don't care. But I think this is still a fun exercise.
I mean, I actively campaigned at my high school, jokingly, I should say, to win, most likely to become president, because as a Canadian citizen, nice, and at that time not an American citizen, I thought it would be very funny to be most likely, yeah, because to, statistically to win it the was thing true.
You could never ever ever happen.
Oh yeah, I mean, none of us were going to win. But yeah, and that influenced me. There's the player who fits into that like prom king category, though, is if you're tuning into this, you know what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a surprise. It's, I mean, I guess it's a toss up between Joey Gallo and this person, just the number of times that we talk about them. But after an actual on field performance.
Well, I mean, after Joey Gallo had to shave, I no longer think he's the hottest player in the MLB or anything like that.
Well, whereas, he also wasn't very good once he shaved. His power came from his beard, apparently.
Yes, true. Yeah. I mean, how could you say no to Shohei Ohtani's smile? He's clearly the prom king of the MLB this year.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for us to bring him up first, because a lot of our other categories, we don't want to repeat. That's really important.
Right.
If your yearbook lets someone win best hair and best smile and everything else, then clearly they are the yearbook editor. And we're not doing that. So we wanted to get him out of the way because, one, he's not fair. And two, you know, I really, really feel like he deserves to be the only player who gets agreed on here. So
Yeah. This is the only one we're double dipping for. So we had the category kind of labeled best season, and I put in, you know, Shohei, and Alexander was like, that's cheating, but it's fine and that's good. And you know what? It's just the way it is. And he's right. I don't know how you can look at what Ohtani has done and not give him all of the praise. It was just, it's unprecedented. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And not only has he done each of these things really well, he's done them at a level that puts him in the conversation for, like, if you were to just look at his hitting, a top hitter in the league, if you were to just look at his pitching, top pitcher in the league, and he's doing both of them. I don't know. It's absolutely remarkable. So, we are going to give Ohtani his due in this category, and then we will move on to other categories. And if we don't bring him up, it's because we purposefully don't want to reuse players.
Yeah. Also, I should say, there's a whole lot of really exhausting discussion that can be had about exactly how historically good or whatever. I don't care if someone in particular had a statistically more WAR season. I don't care if someone did it in circumstances that were more important, because that person did not pitch and hit at the same time. And more importantly, they did not do that the level of fun that I think he did it. That's it. This is all about who made this sport more cool and more interesting and all of those other words you want to put. Nobody else has captured the non-baseball audience in quite the astounding way that I think he has, which is the point. That's your prom king.
There you go. Congratulations, Shohei Ohtani, of all your accomplishments this year. I'm sure this is the one of which you are most proud. All right. Where do you want to go now? Do we want to go the kind of safe ones, best hitter, best pitcher?
Yeah, let's do those.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So best hitter, I'm going to let you go first and make your case, and then I'm just going to come in over the top with the very clearly obvious right answer that I got to pick first.
Okay. So here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to couch my answer in saying that this is a fantasy podcast, so stolen bases get to matter. Okay. So in that case, I'm picking Tatis.
It is, by the way, best hitter, not best base stealer.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I suppose. Okay, fine.
I will punch you from hundreds of miles away. No.
That would be quite a move.
Would be pretty incredible. Incredible. You know, I think it's actually really crazy. Do you remember the last couple weeks of the preseason when Tatis got injured during the spring training games, and people were is he gonna be hurt? And
was that spring training?
He got hurt once during spring training, and then he was fine. Okay, but for a couple days,
and then he got really hurt a little bit into the season, right, with the shoulder. Separation,
falling out of place or whatever.
Yeah,
falling off. They just glued it back on. There was a couple days there where his draft stock dropped from one or two or wherever he was at, down to six or seven. like got a bunch of drafts and NFBC. So like undoubtedly, if you draft on one of those days and you got in at like sixth or whatever, and you're like, yep, we're totally good, like congrats on your chip. Yeah. Like that's it. Like the dude's been incredible in like all sorts of ways. You know, like we talk about how like great we will, and we have, and a lot of other people have like talked about, like, you know, Cedric Mullins going 30-30. Like Tatis isn't far off of that, and he has 40 home runs. And he's missed like a not insignificant amount of time. And
right. And he's done it with a shoulder that could pop out at any moment.
Yeah. He like learned a new position along the same time. Do you know how hard it is to like continue to keep your composure at the plate while still like trying to figure out how to play outfield for the first time? Like,
not personally, but yeah.
Really, really fun to imagine what like a normal, no distractions, like, I am an adult and I have learned how to adult in baseball, and I'm no longer just like a superstar tasting it for the first time. Is going to look for him. Like, this is not his career year. Like, no way.
Right.
So, just want to say, like, obviously that doesn't matter for this category. Him missing time does hurt his fantasy value or whatever. I personally tend to believe that people like him who like put up all this production in slightly less time get way underrated, because you know what you did whenever he wasn't in your lineup? You replaced him.
You didn't take a zero, you got something.
Yeah, so like,
so Tatis plus X equals good.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy equation to try to pull off.
All right, my pick for this category for best hitter is Vladdy. I think that what he's done this year is unbelievable. Everybody kind of knew at some point he was going to be amazing. And there was a lot of back and forth before the season started from the fantasy point of view as to, like, is it this year? Where do I want to invest? And people who bought in, you were rewarded richly. And if it wasn't for the aforementioned Shohei Ohtani, you'd be looking at probably the AL MVP. And fun, you know, like in the same sort of style as Tatis, right? Like easy to root for, big smiles, not really a prima donna about anything. Or if he is, he's really good at hiding it where the cameras are and where people are looking. So, all of that makes you want to root for him. And I think that's a great reason to recognize not only the talent and the accomplishment, but the whole deal, the whole personality, everything about him.
If someone prima donnas in Toronto and no one is watching, does it make a sound? That didn't work.
I don't know. They're all watching hockey instead.
I really love how many of the players who are like clearly at the forefront of like who should be the face of the MLB by like how good they are also seem like they really love playing baseball every single day. Like, I absolutely love watching Juan Soto, who are actually somehow not going to bring up on the rest of this podcast unless we want to. Like, we could, but I mean,
we could. There's actually a category where I think I could do honorable mention. Yeah, because we should. He's been amazing.
He deserves it in this category as an honorable mention as well. But like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, but as a peak fun guy, like how many people like? It's not taunting what he's doing at the plate. It's pure excitement where he's like, oh, I was right. Like that was a ball. Now you got to throw me a better pitch. I'm so stoked, and I just cannot wait to murder the next pitch. Like that is like really, really, really interesting as like a thing to examine. And I love how it just destroys so many people's heads who like can't enjoy things. So you know, and it's crazy. Like Ohtani like exists in that same world, but slightly differently. Vladdy exists in that same world, but quite slightly differently. Like even Tatis, like having that like dugout blow up, but not blow up with Machado the other day. Like, that's it. And like they have reason to be annoyed. Like they love what they do, and that's why they care. Like, you know. And
sure,
it's really fun to know that like all of these guys are so young. We're going to see them so much. We're going to argue about this so much longer. Like, that's just a great place for us to be. So, I mean, I can't imagine having to live in a world where, like, the faces of your sport are, like roid raging and grumpy or something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think this is really great for the future of the game. I hope that it's capitalized on. And to a point, not to put a damper on things, but that we talked about at the tail end of, I think it was last week, I hope that there's not a work stoppage in the sense that it kind of takes the wind out of the sails of how awesome these young players coming up are. And you know, I don't want them to kind of, I don't know, is there a chance they get bitter if there's no season, or the season doesn't start, or I don't know. I hope not. I hope the players get what they deserve without a whole lot of pomp and circumstance and having to do a walkout, because I think
You know, the one thing is, a work stoppage would mean more time for Ronald Acuna to, like, heal from his injury. Mm-hmm. It would give
Tatis
more time to heal if he gets surgery. He should, I hear. You know, like, maybe Juan Soto can, like, learn to bat with his eyes closed.
Maybe.
Maybe Vladimir Guerrero can learn to play shortstop.
Yeah, that would certainly add some value. You know, to your point about Juan Soto being an honorable mention in this category for best hitter, I think that's totally fair. I think maybe one of the reasons that people, this year especially with what Otani's doing is so flashy, and Vlad is so flashy, but Soto walks so much that those highlights of him pounding the baseball don't come through maybe quite as often because they're not pitching to him. And in that lineup right now, why would they? But
God,
I wonder if in some ways, in terms of like highlight baseball, which is I think where we're at, you know, I think there's a lot of people enjoying baseball not by watching full length games and stuff, but by watching Twitter feeds and highlights and that sort of thing. You probably are seeing Vlad maybe a little bit more often. Doesn't mean that Soto's not an amazing hitter. So there's another category I'd like to bring him up in later on too. All right, let's mirror that one with best pitcher. I'll let you take this one away first too.
Okay, so I definitely think that this is a category where there are a lot more options. So. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to manage to be wrong here because I think your option is actually who I would vote for the NL Cy Young, spoiler, but I'm going to choose Max Scherzer because in fantasy baseball, oh God, here I go again. He's managed to pick up some other things that Corbin Burns hasn't picked up as many of, and that's wins. Scherzer has like won a huge proportion of his games this season. By the way, if you're in a quality start league, Walker Buehler deserves a conversation here because his quality start rate was just insane. Yeah, Max mm-hmm. Scherzer won a huge proportion of his games. Also, his whip is just really crazy valuable. So let me pull this up because I think it merits actual comparison. So Scherzer and Corbin Burns have both pitched, you know, roughly in the same number of innings. They're both like roughly in like the 170-ish range. I don't know what this weekend's going to bring, whatever. Max Scherzer's 0.028 or 0.2 or 0.828 whip, that is his current whip this year, is extremely valuable in fantasy and in ways that like we don't typically observe, you know, like being 20 points away from average. Well, think about it. If you got like seven starters plus like group all of your relievers together to be under two pitchers or so, if your team average was like 110 or so, that means he's like 30 points better than average. That means your team's whip is going to drop by like 0.3 of a point or so. Well, then look at how much like that changes like your standings. Same thing for wins. Like if he's got 15 wins this year, think about how closely grouped together wins are going to be. His 2.28 ERA is also nuts. And yeah, he's been really exceptional. And I just think that if we're like handing out fantasy superlatives, you know, like just looking at his like wins above replacement or whatever, however you want to count, you know, like that kind of misses just how incredible he has been. If you look at like the top of those like dollarish charts, he's going to be towards the top of those for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, well, I mean, lame way to answer. I want to say
thunder by naming my pick. And that's Corbin Burns. I warned everybody. I took the low lying fruit. Corbin Burns has just had an amazing season. I do love that when we were talking about Mookie Betts and I talked about average, you were very quick to poo-poo that because yes. Average is a terrible stat, and it is, and then turn around and use wins for Scherzer as justification for why he deserves best pitcher because wins is equally awful as a stat.
It
point, it counts in fantasy. So, I mean, to my point earlier... It counts in fantasy. I do agree that there's a wider selection of people that you could pick here. You could insert player here and Garrett Cole. There's a lot of people who have had really good years, and I think it's of note or should be of note that these are also people who had these years with a lot of changes going on with the mm-hmm. baseball mm-hmm. and the circumstance around how pitchers are allowed to hold on to and throw the baseball, and you know, emerged at the end still demonstrating that they are the best arms in the game, and you know, regardless of all that. So kudos to them for that as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I also want to say that Max Scherzer is pulling one sort of extra important duty, in that he's like one of the leading figures in the Major League Baseball Players Association. So he is going to be busy this winter as well. And he's actually done, I think you can arguably say, a really good job in his role, because the Players Association seems like they're much more in line with each other about like messaging, you know, the entire salary structure being awful, and the way that, you know, like the number of players who are like starting to willingly come out and say like the way that minor leaguers get paid is bad is like growing. So it seems pretty clearly that all but a few people are ready for what's going to come, and that's going to make whatever happens this winter, you know, fun aside, like probably a lot smoother if everyone's on the same page. I don't think that counts for this, but I just do want to say like, that is a role he plays and has like performing at a Cy Young level.
No, I think that personality and leadership and all that stuff does matter. Obviously, it's not something you can go to, you know, a Savant page. There's no slider for it. So maybe it doesn't get talked about as much as it should. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to necessarily know, but it definitely matters. You get people that are incredibly talented but have bad attitudes, and it can be tough. I remember the Red Sox a bunch of years ago. They got some guys in that clubhouse, and they had that whole like chicken gate fiasco, you know, where they were playing video games and eating fried chicken and not taking things seriously. And, you know, it was because they had talent, but they didn't have leadership. So or player leadership. And if you don't have that, that's a problem. And when you do have that, it really sets a tone, especially for the young players on the team. So, yeah, I really do think all that absolutely matters. Maybe not so much for the superlative, but it certainly matters. All right, you want to go back to the top of our list here?
Yeah. This seems like a good time to transition from the most serious conversation to some of the more fun stuff. Because, like, who is good this year? You know how many other people are going to talk about that? So it's time to get really yearbook now, okay?
Very excited. All right, we're going to go to our most likely to succeed category. This is earmarked for rookies who we really believe in, who are most likely to turn into what we expect them to be. Again, I'm going to have you go first, Alex.
No. You absolutely have no choice here. You have to go first for this one.
I have to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but I'm right. I just wanted wanted to give you the chance to put your person out so that they at least got some time in the spotlight, and as opposed to having to live in the shadow of my pick.
Please, they don't do that. Go for this. I have plenty of dumb things to say later.
Okay, perfect. My pick for this is Wander Franco. I think if you look at what he's done since he's been called up, with the pedigree, the expectations, and then the out-and-out performance, this kid is special, and he's going to be amazing. And I think next year we're going to be talking about him right alongside Vlad and Tatis and Soto as, you know, those young, exciting, fun, root for them kind of young faces of Major League Baseball. So my pick is Wander Franco.
So as of tonight, like as we're recording tonight, he has now reached base in 43 consecutive games.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other way to say that. I absolutely am shocked in some ways that like this is like a possible thing for someone who like was playing minor league baseball earlier this year. But it's even crazier that like we've kind of known, like it does seem like he's just met a lot of the expectations and then a little bit more, rather than just like destroying what we thought was couple. Like the expectations for Wander Franco were just like, yeah, this dude's going to be basically an MVP candidate the second he's on the field, and it's more or less manifested. Like,
yeah, which is tough, and especially in the face of guys like Kelnick and Kirilloff who came up and weren't. Right. Which is fine. It's not anything against them. That's a much more natural course of things. Yeah. I think it's really impressive that he's just come up and been like, yep, now this is just big leagues. I got this.
Yeah, this is a good example of Mike Trout ruining things for everyone else, I think. I just want to go ahead and say that. So my pick is not a hitter, to be clear, but he is a Tampa Bay Ray, and that's Shane McClanahan. I feel like I needed to pick a pitcher here because you're way more likely to be wrong about pitchers, and that's why it's so much more fun to pick this. Now, I have just been really, really excited by, you know, like, what it looks like to watch Shane McClanahan pitch against opposing players, because like nobody else really like has a repertoire and like a you know, like, his stuff is not like other people's stuff, because there are not that many people who start baseball games, are left-handed, and throw 100. And that's just the reality. So when someone can come close to any of those things, it's exciting. If you're not starting and you're lefty and you're throwing 100, you're probably going to be in a good spot. He was like mostly starting to start the year, right? He wasn't going like a full six innings, and then he like grew into that, and he's just been incredible this year. So I really do believe in that, and I am just really, really excited to see him continue to do this. There are a lot of other people who I think are really interesting on the pitching side, who I think have like a little bit less in the tank, but maybe a little bit more like to show us in different, like, I also just should say, I feel like Trevor Rogers is cheating. He's been better, but you know, is he really a rookie? I guess he legally is, but is he really a rookie? So yeah, that's kind of my thought.
Okay. It sounds good to me. I like the explanation, and I like that it's a pitcher. So it's not really super in conflict with mine. Trying to pick a bat to follow under Franco just was going to be a losing battle there. All right. I like this next category a lot. And I'm going to just preface this with, I basically, like I said, had first pick of all of these. And the two players that we picked, obviously my own, is my pick. But even the one you went, I think, are the two most obvious choices for this category. So it's a most unexpected season, like out of nowhere was awesome or totally defied expectations in a good way. My pick for this, now I'm going with the arm, and that's Robbie Ray. I've always kind of like thought he was a special pitcher, and I've rostered him on several teams and enjoyed the strikeouts tried to really kind of play matchups. But I really love what he did this year. I love that you can kind of point to a decision and he was able to just execute. It makes you wonder why that didn't happen sooner. Is that a Blue Jays thing? Is that a Robbie Ray thing? Is that a Diamondbacks thing? I don't know, but I'm super happy for him. And the fact that he was able to do what he's done so far this year and do it without sacrificing what he's always been so good at, I love it. So my pick for most unexpected season, because I don't think anybody saw this coming, is Robbie Ray. Maybe the Blue Jays did. I mean, they went and got him. So kudos, Toronto.
You know, it's weird to say that you'd play matchups with him when it's always been like him versus himself to a degree. You know,
yeah, but you know, certain teams punish those walks when he was walking.
People. For sure.
Certain offenses punish that a lot worse. So
you know, it's funny to think like today's Blue Jays are really aggressive at the plate, and I feel like they would have punished him a whole lot less than a lot of other teams would have. but yeah, no, he's been a delightful story. You know what crazy is to think that the Blue Jays might not make the playoffs while having like,
I know,
the people who might finish second in both Cy Young and MVP in the AL, depending on where he finishes.
It is weird. I don't really quite understand it, but I also think that you know, this is the beginning of them putting together that young nucleus, so they're going to be competitors for a long, long time. I almost took your pick here in this category, but I really wanted to leave you the Oriole.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this clearly, without any doubt, was going to be Big Mike Baum. No, I'm kidding. I do love Big Mike Baum. Yeah, no, Cedric Mullins. Actually went and saw the Orioles on Saturday last week, and it was his like day off after he hit 30-30. He pinch hit in, I think it was like the seventh or eighth inning, and he had the Orioles' second hit of the day in the seventh or eighth inning. And it was a really clutch, like single to the outfield that jammed some runners and loaded the bases. And then they lost. It's crazy to me how many really interesting players and really fun storylines there are on this Orioles team, despite everything else. Like there's him, and what he's done has just been completely crazy to have tried to predict. Like I was in Austin Hay is like, he's going to win the starting job. I'm not worried about Cedric Mullins. He's not anything sort of guy.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops for the better. You know what? They're both playing. Yeah. And Austin Hayes has been pretty okay.
Sure.
So, like, no, that's a good thing. I was worried they were going to platoon, and they didn't. That's really cool. Yeah. You got him.
Well, I mean, Mullins really didn't give anybody a choice in that matter. You can't platoon that.
Correct. Yeah, so you have him. And then you have John Means being, like, pretty good for a lot of the year, throwing a no-hitter, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, Anthony Santander hasn't been, like, the perfect version of himself, but, like, Trey Mancini's, like, gonna win Comeback Player of the Year and really deserve it. Like, yep. That's really fun. The problem
and
is...
And they're 45 games out of first place.
Yeah, the problem is just, like, it's like they played stars and scrubs, except they just drafted $10 guys as their stars. But, like, they truly do have, like, a lot of really interesting players you actually can care about. You know, a couple years ago, after Machado left, it was like, who do you buy an Orioles jersey for? Well, it's like, right now, you have a lot of answers. And that's kind of cool. So, like, I'm almost certainly forgetting, like, a couple people. Like, that's kind of where they've been. Like, I don't know, is this a time where I need to bring up Hug, like, Ramon Urias has been, like, pretty good this year? Probably not.
If you want, you can. What's his superlative? Not the worst Oriole.
Next. All right. Next
yeah,
category.
We can move on. Next category, and I definitely want you to go first on this because I think mine requires a little explanation. And I'm going to say we're going to go with most under the radar. So, like, somebody who did really well and maybe people aren't talking about enough, or they were overshadowed in some way by other performances, but deserve their due.
All right. So, yeah, I feel like this is a category where, like, the process of picking someone means that you, like, are going to want to pick someone else along the way. I settled on Max Fried. Max Fried is not who I originally had down here, but I settled on Max Fried because I had forgotten him. And then after remembering a couple other people, he was the last person I remembered, which I felt like made him the most under the radar. But he's actually just been low-key incredible this season. You know, last year he had like an ERA near two, which, like, funky small sample size stuff. But this year he, like, low threes, near 25% strikeout rate, good whip, all the other nonsense, right? And he's just quietly been really excellent since. And roll with me here. End of 2019 season, he, like, changed his pitch mix. And I remember I was listening to Eno back then. He was like, oh yeah, no, like, I'm really into this. He just changed his pitch mix. That's an indicator of, like, actual change that can hold up, maybe. And he's just been really great since then. And he was like one of the guys that I think really opened the door for me as, like, a guy can change who he is, and there are certain things that matter, and choice is important. You aren't just a dice or a pair of dice. Like, you are a person. And it's been really cool to kind of, like, watch him because, you know, he's also not, like, a strikeout machine. He does some other things well. So I feel like that all kind of comes together to kind of, like, make him by nature more forgettable, that he's not, like, going to be the top of the CSW charts or anything like that. But he's been really good, and Atlanta's, I feel like, flown under the radar as, like, a contender this year, which really helps. So he's the sort of person who I think has been good enough to qualify, but also quiet enough to qualify, which is a hard line to walk.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick. I went with Marcus Semien, and I know that he's probably maybe not the ideal pick for this category because people are talking about him. But when you start hear people talking about the Blue Jays, you hear about Vlad first. You definitely hear about Robbie Ray. You hear about Bo Bichette. And by the way, Marcus Semien has 44 home runs, right? So I think that maybe it's less, like, under the radar fine. But I definitely don't think that he's getting his due for what he has actually accomplished. It's absolutely remarkable. But I do think that we should put in honorable mention. Who was it that you had in there before you settled on Max Fried?
Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Reynolds has done some really exceptional stuff this year. He's upped he's improved his strikeout rate. So it was, like, previously mid-20s, and now he's at 18% overall. Like, what's been a full season of playing excellent, excellent outfield defense. I guess it doesn't count in fantasy. Whoops, ignore that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, please don't invalidate my previous picks. But he's also, like, held up the power numbers. like, it's not just like choosing to strike out less. He is hitting the ball as hard while hitting it more often. That is really hard to do, and that's really helped the home run surge. You know, he was previously a guy who I felt was kind of like a fill-in, would actually kind of hurt you, but just a little bit everywhere sort of guy. And he's just improved. The problem is the Pirates really haven't gotten better. So, like, the question is what becomes of him. But I don't think he has that, like, forever of contract left. So, I don't know. Maybe he gets dealt here in a year or two for something real, because he's a good player. Or maybe they just call up some guys and get better, and, you know, there's a better offensive around him. That'd be cool. I like the idea of the Pirates being good, where to, like, you know, you could say, oh, yeah, and he's also been really good on a team that's getting better. So I would love that to happen, just because, you know, PNC and uniforms and whatever. But, you know, I have the unfortunate feeling that he's going to be just under the radar good for a little while here.
Yeah, small markets definitely make it hard. I was actually looking through after I decided on Semien, and I was looking, and I was going to suggest him to you, and then I saw that you'd already filled him in. and then I looked back again, and he was gone again. So I think it was worth mentioning. He deserves that. Again, I'm sure they're all listening, and this is their proudest moment. All right, speaking of moments, let's move on to our next superlative, which is best moment of the season. And do you want to go, or do you want me to go first here?
Oh, I absolutely want to go first, because
all right,
Tyler Gilbert's no-hitter for the Diamondbacks is, like, I feel like not getting anywhere near the due that it deserves. I just still can't believe that it happened in some respects. You know, in case you've forgotten, which I think statistically most people have somehow, this was a first career start no-hitter for the team that is, I think, arguably considerably worse than the Orioles. The Orioles have their current record while playing in, like, the hardest division in baseball, and I guess the AL West is probably the, or the NL West is probably the other hardest, like, division in baseball, but, like, I really think that the AL East is just, like, consistently more difficult to play in, year out, whereas, like, the Diamondbacks have just stunk. Like, straight up, they've been just horrendous in almost every facet in some different way. There's been almost no real bright spots. I guess Mad Bum had his, like, seventh-inning no-hitter. But Tyler Gilbert throwing a no-hitter in his first career start is just beyond poetic. And I don't think that there is any singular moment that can transcend that. This would be my pick if he was playing for any other team. And it's to the point where it's like nothing else that he does this year will matter to a degree, because that's just incredible achievement. So, like, if I sound like I don't really have anything to say about it, and I'm just saying the same thing, it's because, like, I cannot muster real commentary to compare with, like, the idea of your first career start in baseball being pretty much the pinnacle of achievement for a pitcher in many of their careers.
Yeah. It's almost like if there wasn't money involved, you just hang them up now. Like, you did it. You're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect game, but, like, What is a perfect game anymore? Yeah. Literally never. Right.
That if you're trying to get a perfect game, if you're hanging your hat on that, you're probably going to be disappointed. But hopefully that's a harbinger of things to come for him. That was definitely, it really is amazing to think of a debut no-hitter. It's remarkable. My best moment is a little bit of a cheating moment, because it's not during the regular season play. It's not even during a game. But that is Pete Alonso's performance at the Home Run Derby this year, which I think was just a lot of fun. It was electric. The format is cool. The players that were involved this year were cool. And I had no idea how much personality Pete Alonso had until I watched that Home Run Derby. And that was just a lot of fun. And what he was doing to baseballs was just, oh, man.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I really love the off the cuff random weird stuff that isn't. Do you remember earlier in the season when he was like, oh yeah, no, like, they're de-juicing and rejuicing the baseballs every offseason to, like, screw with players' contracts? It was, like, very tinfoily, but also, like, very clearly, like, well-intentioned. You know, like, it's a sort of conspiracy theory that's, like, points out the appropriate bad guy rather than, you know, like, I don't know. There are so many good bad conspiracy theories these days. I'm like, you know what? Good for you, Pete. I hope that you're not getting up to any other trouble that I'd be really annoyed about, because I just want to root for you.
Yeah, no, that was fun. And watching him hit the baseballs is again, speaking of remarkable, I think that one of the things that the Home Run Derby provides is an opportunity to just see the raw talent. It's not a game conditions. It's just guys who are really, really, really good at something doing that thing, and we can all watch it happen in real time. It's, I don't know, amazing. So we've got two left, two categories left. It's going to be most reliable and then biggest regret, and that's a little bit more of a fantasy angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which order do you want to do this in?
Let's do most reliable.
Okay.
Because I feel like we got to end this on a sour note because we've just been so happy the whole time. yeah. So most reliable, I wanted us to talk about, like, you know, like the sort of like set it and forget it, you know, like right after most exciting, who's the guys who've just been really, really good. And this is like a different thing from like the under the radar, because you can be under the radar because, you know, like you stunk to begin the year, or like you've had some mediocre stretches, but overall it's, oh yeah, I guess it's fine. I really want to talk about a couple of guys who I just feel like have been, you know, like a standard for excellence. And I wanted to, in particular myself, highlight Mark Melanson's season, because mm-hmm. it's not the sort of position you expect consistency to come from. And it's also not the sort of guy that I thought would be good who has himself been all that consistent.
Yeah. So this is a candidate for most unexpected season, I would say, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Yeah. It's exactly the sort of guy that, like, I've been happy to have been long run wrong about, because in the short run, in the moment, it's so fun. You know, it's not been a great season for the Padres. Duh.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think they're like one of their last 10, basically 1-9 in their last 10 for like a couple different points in the past week. And like, just generally just a gross implosion by them for lots of different reasons. Yeah. And I'm ready to be angry about how they're going to bungle it next year if that happens. But what's been really cool has been like actually watching the couple guys there who have like just figured it all out and been consistently good. Just go, like, Jake Cronenberg has been good. Joe Musgrove has been good. Mm-hmm. But more than anything else, I think we needed to highlight a guy who, like, just been impeccably consistent, really got a bunch of save opportunities, made the most of them, and just did his thing. And, like,
yeah, never looked back.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's the sort of like poster child for like stuff that doesn't exist anymore. And I just want to highlight that. I thought that it's been really neat to kind of follow him while I've been doing bullpen wrap ups. And, like, yeah, I mean, I think his second half hasn't been as pristinely excellent, but it's still been so good for a closer standards that you have to reward it in this category.
Sure.
Also, we didn't get to talk about closers anywhere else, so
yeah, right, that's fair. I have no objection to that. The only thing I would say is, going into the season, you probably didn't expect him to be this reliable, so it's not like, from the point of view of like, this is a guy who is doing what he's always done and will continue to do forever, like Nelson Cruz, maybe, where, you know, it doesn't matter how old he gets, he's just going to be great. But once he did get that ball rolling, he absolutely, he stuck with it. Easy for me to say. My pick for this is Jose Ramirez. And I will be honest, you know, a couple of years ago, he had that stretch where he was just, for no good reason, awful, like really, really awful.
I think he like had a kid or something like that. That's the best reason I've been able to come up with.
Like off the field stuff, and boy, can I relate to what kind of upside down it does to your life when you have a kid. But it, I mean, you, I think that year he was probably like top three, and he was like batting under 200. It wasn't stealing bases. Like, it was really ugly. But since then, he's been Jose Ramirez. You know, he kind of got it together towards the end of that season. He had another little stretch, I think, in the shortened season. But overall, Jose Ramirez, if you look at his career, and especially this year, that's what we're doing here. You know, I looked at his rolling graphs, and there's been some ups and downs. And at first I was like, oh, that's not really very consistent. And then I kind of scrolled out and looked at, like, okay, it looks bad because it's been not that far from you know, either side. Like, his graph is going up and down in a much smaller way than it looks like when you put it to scale to other players. And that's valuable, and he's just been amazing. So again, if you kind of bet on him to be who he is, you've been rewarded, and I think that he deserves being honored here with being good old Jose Ramirez of old and helping people win championships.
Yeah, he was a guy that I was targeting in like wherever I could get him in drafts this past year. And he's a guy who I was targeting wherever I could get him before the shortened season last year. And he's a guy who I'm going to target next year because I think there were just enough people who were burned in 2019 to permanently make him not like Nelson Cruz value, but the sort of guy who you can just bet to be good. He's had like more MVP adjacent half seasons than anywhere else. And trust me, like that is like alternative like tables sort of stuff, as they would say in the soccer world. You know, that's like, yeah, but if you squint, I win, which is just absolutely on brand for me in my soccer stuff. So I feel like that's like a you know, it's a funny comparison that like in that he's very forgotten here because, you know, Cleveland. What else has there been to really celebrate?
I was going to say, if you squint, we win. It sounds like Cleveland Indians motto.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Cleveland, what are they going to be now?
They're going to be the Guardians.
That's right. The Cleveland Guardians. That's way better than Spiders.
The Jardians are...
Jardians. Okay. What I would like to move on to here is our last category. That category is biggest regret. And we're talking more about fantasy here than we are like obvious. I mean, it's kind of weird to say who's your biggest regret on the field. We're not making those decisions. Biggest regret in terms of drafting or not drafting. And I'm going to have you go first on this one.
Okay. So as you may know, I am one of the more pro draft a good catcher people out there, because I just think the math's really obvious on it. And, you know, I had a couple guys I was really championing at the beginning of the year. We fought a little bit about who in particular to draft for catcher for our fantasy team. It didn't work out. And I will probably be wrong about which expensive catcher to draft in many drafts in the rest of my life. I did not end up with any Salvador Perez this year.
Yeah.
I don't know how I didn't get any Salvador Perez this year. I was like drafting catchers basically at his ADP in like a handful of different leagues. And like, I didn't even get any mocks. I think what happened is I just thought that 2020 was like an aberration. I was like, it's buying high. You know, he'll be like the sixth or seventh best catcher and he's going at like fourth of his prices. I'll just wait, or maybe I won't wait at all. I got Real Muto, and boy, howdy, he's been good.
Yep.
I also just want to go ahead and say that all of the discussion about whether or not this is like the best offensive catcher season ever or those other things are just mind-bogglingly stupid to me, because the whole point of this discussion about him not being an MVP candidate, to be clear, like the way we evaluate Cedric Mullins is not to say, yeah, but he's, and literally, like, pick your wart for Mullins. Like, you know, he's been pretty good, but he's not been, like, super, super exceptional. And for someone who's played as many games as he has, like, 30 home runs is probably not enough to be an MVP. I'll be honest with you there. Like, he's not, sure. He's going to be, like, top five or so in MVP voting in the AL, I imagine. I don't know, Semien will be ahead of him. Vladdy will be ahead of him. Otani will be ahead of him. And then probably some other people, I guess. Yay, baseball, I'm totally paying attention. And I don't know, maybe not actually. Maybe he's like fourth or fifth. I guess Jose Ramirez arguably should be ahead of him, depending on how you think. And, you know, we're just not evaluating catchers for some reason, especially catchers with knocking on the door of 50 home runs, as the same critical light that we're highlighting, like people who are arguably not like anywhere near as incredible as what he's been doing. And I think that's the whole scale. Mm-hmm. It's like we're allowing ourselves to like evaluate other people in that way, and I think we really deserve to just like highlight how absolutely bonkers it's been, how good it is. And I feel like I just need to go ahead and say that I'm an idiot for not drafting anywhere.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh. I would posit this: if this was Gary Sanchez having this season, do you think we would be talking a lot more about Gary Sanchez than we are Salvador Perez?
Yes.
Thank you for that wonderful analysis and deep thought. Okay, well, we're in agreement. At least there's that.
Yeah, I will say Gary Sanchez does walk a good amount, and that's been part of it. Is like, I think that some people who really want to prove to other people that they are smart and, know how to say the five things that prove that you're a good stats boy or whatever, like, gotta get those in at every opportunity. And so, like, sniping at Salvador Perez for swinging at everything is a really good opportunity to show that you know how valuable walks are, which, like, good for you. Log off, please. That's I get the whole point of our podcast is going to, like, talk about stats and explain why you should care about them. The point of this, though, is not to, like, use a bunch of things that you know as a qualification to prove that you're smart. It's to help you enjoy a game better or to play some fantasy. It's not like a competition of who knows more facts at the end of the day. And I think so many of the things I enjoy most about fantasy and stats and whatever else are that they make real life more fun. And when you try to make real life less fun with them, I just can't get on board with that. So I want to bring them up for these two reasons, basically. Yeah.
Fair enough. I think it's a great choice anyway. Catcher is a tough spot to draft. If you had known that Perez was going to have this year, I think there would have been a lot more conversation about him much earlier. I'm obviously much earlier. His performance has been amazing. But I mean,
like,
just
first round
the conversation about catcher early, I think, would have been different. My biggest regret this year it's couched. I'm going to qualify it. I'm going to go with Giancarlo Stanton. But I think that I pick him as a kind of symbol of a fear that I have when I draft sometimes, that a lot of people have, that is just wrong. I shouldn't do it. I know I shouldn't do it. I can tell people don't do it, but I do it. And that is being afraid of drafting guys who are going to be hurt. And Stanton is the poster child for, he's going to be amazing when he plays and he's going to be hurt a bunch. And, you know, we talk a lot about Stanton plus replacement. That's fine. But on draft day, when you're picking him over somebody else, sometimes it can be really hard to pull that trigger. People who did that this year were pretty richly rewarded for that. And I was not one of them. So I think this is it's not so much about him as an individual player, but more what he represents in terms of risk versus reward. And maybe this is like one of those last market inefficiencies that's left in ranking. The industry has become so good at nuanced differences between players and tiering players and understanding how stats are going to drive outcomes in the fantasy game. That there's not that much left to argue about, I guess. I mean, if you look at different people's ranks, there's going to be differences and discrepancies here and there. But by and large, you're not going to see huge swings, except maybe with people who are injury prone, because I think a lot of people have different ideas about how that affects and impacts outcomes. And I think I honestly think I draft on the wrong side of that. But that's who I picked. That's who I went with. And that's why.
Yeah, I think that, like, he's like the other side of the same coin, and I think that we should always be willing to appreciate, like, whatever a guy is, like, exactly who we thought he was, and we just didn't draft him, because that's like, you're not wrong, you're just scratching your head, and that's fun. That's just pure, like, oh, look at that guy hitting another home run, I could have been right, you know, and you're like, admire the home run, watch the clip a couple more times.
Like, yeah, right.
You know, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's like, as long as it's, like, not really, really annoying, you're just like, man, I could have been right. I think that's a fun sort of thing to talk about once in a while. It's like, you know, like, look at this dude. Good for him. Good for him.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if I buy into him next year, he's going to be out in the second week for the season. So, you know, there's always that. But, I mean, the man hit a ball 122 miles an hour this year. So, it's unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable.
I love that also, just as a thing. Is like, he, like, definitively, we know it, hits the ball way harder than everybody else. And, like, there are the people who are, like, in the same zip code as him occasionally, but he's just living there, and it's so cool.
You know what would be interesting? I mean, if you go to the stats, obviously it's ranked by max EV, right? So that only has to happen one time. I would be interested in, and I'm sure that you can probably pull this in 5 seconds and it would take me 5 hours. I'd get there, but it would take me longer, is to just rank all of the batted balls from this year by exit velocity.
Oh, yeah, it's
how many of like the top 20 are him.
You know what? Hold on a second. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay. Well, you do that right now. You know, it's been a really fun year, I think, not only because there's been a lot of these quirky things. We've had controversies to talk about with SpiderTech and, you know, stories about young players coming up and succeeding and hype and all those things. But mostly we had a full season. We had a full season with a lot of fans in attendance throughout the league. We had baseball that looked and felt more normal than it has for a long time. And hopefully the baseball world will mirror our real world, and we can continue making that progress back to normalcy, because I think everybody, regardless of who you are, what you believe, what side of any issue you're on, getting back to a normal is going to be really, really, really big for us as people, as individuals, and as a society. And I'm excited for that. I'm glad baseball got their season, and I'm glad to see hockey getting off on time. Football has been good. So it's starting to feel like sports have normalized, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, no, I think that more than anything else, just like also the process of getting back to normal, like in the bumps along the way and like the sort of things that have and haven't worked have been really instructive for a lot of real life things. I always talk about how sports is like reality in a funhouse mirror. And, you know, I don't think this is any different, you know, like the whole, it's hard to get back to like what we'd sustain. And I think that the fact that we're getting closer and closer and is within reach is really, really itself worth talking about as a good thing. There are so many really fantastic things that have made it possible. Let's see. One fantastic thing that's not making this possible is how slow my laptop is. But we're on the doorstep here.
All right. I am very interested in this. I mean, there are obviously other guys who hit the ball super hard. His teammate Aaron Judge does. Otani is up there definitely with some of the hardest hit balls this season, which is remarkable that he's doing that and pitching baseballs and striking people out like crazy.
Yeah.
That Stanton owns a large number of those top 10, top 20, even top 50 hardest hit baseballs of the season.
Okay, so I've redone this search like six times because I keep accidentally searching pitchers instead.
Oops, it probably just thinks it knows what you want, right? You're searching pitchers more than you're searching hitters?
You'd be a little bit correct there, yeah.
Yeah. It's predictive algorithm is working against you in this case.
All right. Are we ready for this?
I am so ready.
Okay. So there have been six balls this year that have been hit harder than 120 miles an hour. All of them are by Giancarlo Stanton. The only other player in the top 10 is Manny Machado. He had one at 119.6 miles an hour. But yeah, if we're talking about top 20, let's see. Yeah, it looks like he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. That is 14 of the top 20 so far this year, by my count.
Yeah,
so,
that sounds about what I would have guessed.
Yeah, yeah. So it's his house, and some other people are trying to enter, but it's really dangerous, and I don't begrudge anyone for not trying to. So yeah, shouts out to Manny Machado, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Franchi Cordero, and Pete Alonso. Chris Gittens also just off there. So it's a name you probably didn't expect to be in the neighborhood, but
no,
there he is.
Nope, did not. Well, thank you for that journey, Alexander. We are not saying goodbye. We are going to continue, as I said at the top of the show, throughout the off season, every other week. But this is our last regular season show. Thank you for being on this journey all year. I don't know if those of you listening at this particular moment know, but this was our first season working together, and I think we had a nice run there, Alexander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is a great thing to do. Once a week, at least. You know, there's a couple of hectic weeks in there where it was actually more than that. And I think that's one of the nice things about this is a really good reminder that I do enjoy this. Baseball's fun.
Baseball is fun. And on that note, that will bring us to the end of our final regular season episode. Thanks so much for listening. Alexander, thank you so much for being a part of it. And if you could let the people know where they could find us.
Well, they can find you on Twitter at The Corked Matt. I'm on Twitter at @chase_rate. And most importantly, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Dugout Study Hall, where you can send us some questions. Please be sure to subscribe to the Pitcherless podcast feed if you haven't done that already. Leave us a good review if you can be so kind. And if you're not already, please consider becoming a PL Plus member so that you can harass us on the PL Discord. And that's it for me.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.